Please be seated. The story is told of a little silver-haired lady who called her neighbor and said, "Please come over and help me. I have this killer jigsaw puzzle and I can't figure out how to get started." Her neighbor asked, "Well, what's it supposed to be when it's finished? What's it supposed to look like?" The silver-haired lady said, "According to the picture on the box, it's a rooster." Her neighbor decided to go over and help with the puzzle. She led him in and showed him where she has the puzzle spread all over the table. He studied the pieces for a moment, then looked at the box and turned to her and said, "First of all, no matter what we do, we are not going to be able to assemble these pieces into anything resembling a rooster." He then took her hand and patted it and said, "Secondly, I want you to relax. Let's have a nice cup of tea together. And he gave a big sigh. "And then let's put all the cornflakes back into the box." What is it supposed to look like when it's finished is a really good question, isn't it? And that was like the question that the people in Corinth were asking the Apostle Paul as well. What will we look like when we're finished? What will we look like after the resurrection? People then and people now want to know what kind of body we're going to have. Will we have wings? Will we be able to fly? Will we recognize people who have gone before us? What will it be like? Paul doesn't tell us exactly, does he? We actually know more of what we won't be than what we will be like. We are told that we're not going to have a physical body that will deteriorate like our present ones. Our new bodies will not be perishable or weak, nor will they fail us dishonorably like our present ones do. In fact, our new bodies will be glorious, powerful, and imperishable. But again, we don't have a good picture, do we? But in our gospel reading, we begin to see more of what we will be like. Jesus said, "I say to you that, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. To someone who takes away your coat, don't withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, don't ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Do you hear what Jesus is saying? What kind of person actually loves his enemies? What kind of person will do good deeds for those who hate and are hateful to him? What kind of person will bless and speak well of those people who are cursing him and saying bad things about him? What kind of person actually prays for the people who abuse them? What kind of person offers his cheek to be struck after already being hit the first time? What kind of person gives to everyone and lends to anyone without expecting what was lent to be returned? That's not practical, much less very livable, is it? How could Jesus tell us these things? What kind of person lives like that? This is the kind of people we, you and I, were meant to be. This is how we are to become. We may not have been told exactly what our bodies are going to look like in heaven, but right here, Jesus is describing the kind of people who will be living there. How will we fit in? Jesus is describing a new kind of person. A new humanity, isn't he? This new kind of person will be able to give to others. This new kind of person will be able to be totally unselfish. This person will be able to do good to others who may even hate him. It was under Emperor Marcus Aurelius that one of the more severe persecutions of the early church was instituted. But during the end of his reign, in the year 165, a devastating epidemic swept through the Roman Empire. Historians speculate that it might have been either the measles or smallpox. Through this disease, about one third of the population died. That's one in every three people died. In fact, the emperor himself died. People living in the cities were terrified and moved out into the country or to another city to try to escape. They abandoned those who were sick out of fear of catching the disease themselves. They wouldn't even bury the dead for fear of catching this disease. Christians, however, did not move out of the cities. In fact, Christians not only stayed, but they went into the homes of those who had been their enemies, those who only weeks or months before had been trying to kill them, or who had confiscated their property, or had levied huge fines upon them. These Christians went to care for these people as they lay sick and dying. Christians also buried the dead, which the others had left. Obviously, many Christians then got sick and died as well. But as any medical person would understand, having fresh water, food, and basic care increased the odds greatly for overcoming a sickness. And more people who no doubt would have died did not, because Christians were willing to give themselves to serve anyone who needed them, even their enemies. I'm also reminded of the story of Dirk Willem. Dirk was an Anabaptist during the time when being an Anabaptist was a crime punishable by death. An Anabaptist was a Christian who believed that only adults should be baptized. Dirk was captured and imprisoned. Knowing that his fate would be death if he remained in prison, he fashioned the rope from strips of cloth and escaped over the prison wall. But he was seen and chased. Frost had covered a nearby pond with a thin layer of ice, but Dirk risked it. He made it across safely. But the ice broke under one of his pursuers, the one closest to Dirk, and the man cried out for help. Dirk turned around, came back, and pulled his enemy out of the frigid water. In gratitude, that man would have let Dirk escape, but others were there. And Dirk was recaptured. He was taken back to prison and executed, burned alive at the stake on May 16th, 1569. In August of 1878, yellow fever invaded the city of Memphis. 30,000 people left that city. Over 20,000, however, remained. Constance, Mother Superior, and her six fellow nuns were among those who stayed in order to care for the sick and dying. By the time the plague had ended, more than 90% of the population who had remained had contracted the fever. And over 5,000 of those people had died. Of the seven nuns who remained, Constance and five of the others had perished. Christian history is full of such examples of people who were willing to love and care for others, even at the cost of their lives. How would we be able to live like this? We're not able. And we'll never be able unless we can begin to grasp the love that God has for us. Scripture teaches us that we are able to love even our enemies because of God's love for us. The person who is able to love like this is the sort of person God created us to become. This is the kind of people we were meant to be. This is the kind of person that is God's child. And if we want to be part of God's family, this is the sort of person we need to be like. What are we supposed to look like when we're finished? Not a rooster, not a pile of cornflakes. We're supposed to look like this, a person who can love others, even those who may hate us. Amen.